40% of adults in the US will experience sciatica at some point in their life. It can feel like a fiery pain that radiates down the leg, and it can lead to numbness and tingling in the leg, or you might feel it like it's a deep throbbing pain up in your glute. The nerve pain generally comes from some form of aggravation or compression of the nerve, either up in the spine itself or somewhere in the hip socket. Trying to push through the pain or just live with it is impacting your life way more than you think it is. When you follow these three strategies, you are gonna get relief way faster than if you do. So a few months ago, my dad called me in a panic. He had pulled over to the side of the road. He was on his way home from work. He had pulled over to the side of the road because he was in excruciating pain. He's like, I can't even press the gas pedal right now, Megan, because my pain is so intense. What is going on right now? And what he described it as, he said, I feel like I have this burning sensation that's going through my glute and down into my leg. And whenever I try to move and shift my body, I'm just getting this like stabbing pain. It feels very hip, but it might be kind of up in my back. And there's a little bit of tingling and numbness involved. What is going on? And as he's describing this to me, while he's sitting on the side of the road, my dad, this sounds a lot like your sciatic nerve is aggravated all of a sudden. I'm like, what did you do today? What happened today? He's like, well, I was moving some things around at work and I didn't think about it, but I squatted down a certain way and then I just kind of kept going on. And now all of a sudden, while I'm sitting in the car right now, this is just on fire. What should I do? And so figuring that this most likely could be his sciatic nerve talking to him, I said, okay, Dad, here's what I want you to do while you're sitting in the car. I want you to take your glutes and pump them. I want you to try to flex your glutes, squeeze your glutes a little bit. Let's see if we can activate those for just a second. And then I want you to try to tuck your pelvis under and see if we can get a little bit of relief off of that nerve. And he's like, okay, I think that's feeling a little bit better. I might be able to drive home. And I said, okay, as soon as you get home, call me because I have some other things I want you to do and I want you to try. So fortunately, he had the good sense in that moment to give me a call and explain what was going on. And I was able to pull him out of this situation, kind of like pull him off the ledge. But the story is like he was dealing with pretty severe sciatica pain in that moment. And unfortunately, he's not alone at all. Crazy enough, 40% of adults in the US will experience sciatica at some point in their life. It's not very common among younger adults, like people in their 20s and 30s, but kind of past the 40-year mark and into the 50s, 60s, it's really common. It's almost half of the population are going to experience some kind of sciatic pain, whether it's like what my dad experienced, that shooting, tingling, numb type of pain going down the leg, or it could be a little less, more like a dull pain just kind of there, that chronic ache. So what is sciatica? So your sciatic nerve is a massive nerve. In fact, it's the largest nerve on your body and it's the longest nerve. It's not just one nerve, it's actually a bundle of nerves. And it is as thick as your thumb. If you look at the thickness, like the diameter of your thumb, that is the size of this nerve bundle. It's massive, okay? So it originates at the base of your spine. And it comes out of a couple different like portals off the side of your vertebra, and it feeds through your pelvis, through your hip socket, kind of running through your deep glute muscles, those deep hip muscles, and runs kind of down alongside the outer edge of your femur, and it feeds into your calf and even into your foot. So you have two of these big nerve bundles, one on the right side, one on the left side. So it's a massive nerve. And sciatica pain, or any form of sciatica, could be a number of things. It could be that nerve gets damaged at some point along the way, or it's aggravated, or it's compressed. And there's a lot of different places that this could be happening. And the two most common places for that compression or aggravation to happen on that nerve is either right at the spine itself, like right up at the vertebra. very often someone will experience like a bulging disc or a herniated disc, where the nerve, as it's exiting the backbone, as it's coming out of the vertebra, it's getting pinched. So there's some compression there at your spine. Another common place to experience aggravation of your sciatic nerve is actually in the hip socket itself. So as it's running through your glutes and running through some of those smaller hip muscles, like you've maybe heard of the name piriformis, that's a pretty small muscle deep up inside of your hip socket. If it's getting compressed in that area, you might experience some sciatica style pain too. So it could be a number of places, and often it's really closely associated with like piriformis syndrome. It kind of runs in conjunction with SI joint pain too, so sacroiliac joint pain. The sciatic nerve runs right behind the sacroiliac joint in your pelvis. So it could feel like a number of things. It could feel like that stabbing nerve style pain, that heat that just like runs down your leg. It could feel more like the SI joint, like the dull ache pain deep up inside of your glute. It could even lead to numbness and like tingling down the leg, and maybe even your leg like not feeling very strong. Like suddenly your leg feels really weak and it's not able to operate very well. So what will happen if you don't do anything about it? What's going to happen if you don't like give your hip or give the sciatic nerve any attention? You just kind of push through the pain or you live with it. Well, unfortunately, a lot of things can happen, and it may resolve on its own. Most of it does. However, in the meantime, most of the time what happens is people become less active. They stop moving as much. They stop walking. They stop exercising because it hurts. And the consequences of that, of having to sit on the sidelines and become less physically active, also you might not be sleeping as well throughout the night because it hurts so much. The consequences of that, it drives your stress up. And now we have this perfect storm of someone who just this sciatica nerve pain could now be impacting so many layers of your health, where 2, 3, 4 years down the road, you realize, oh my goodness, how did I get so unhealthy? So that is my challenge to you today, is that there are some things that you can do to relieve this nerve pain quicker and not push through it anymore and not have to sit on the sidelines for a long time. Most cases of sciatica go away on their own over time. It may take a little while, but there are some things that we can do to kind of speed up that process. Occasionally, it might require surgery. Only about 10% of cases actually need some form of surgery, and that's even questionable. Maybe that person could have followed some protocol to help encourage healing of that sciatica or reducing that compression on that nerve and might not have needed surgery. But most of the time, we can do something about it. We can actually get this pain to resolve on its own. So if you're like my dad and it comes on you all of a sudden, and you're suddenly getting that fiery nerve pain down your leg, and you're like, I feel like I can barely move. What should you do in that moment? Okay. So in the moment, what is really helpful is potentially icing at first, because maybe you actually did injure something, especially if it was like, hey, I picked something up and now I feel this, or I moved in such a way that I think I did injure something. There could be a little bit of swelling that has occurred. So in the first like 36 to 48 hours, icing could potentially help. So you could ice the area that bothers you. But after that, the most helpful thing is probably going to be heat, because especially with nerve style pain, what your body likes to do is like clamp down and hold tension and really guard. And sometimes that guarding, like that clenching, creates more compression. So if we can apply some heat to the area, it can get those muscles to relax. And this is where also having like a pain relieving medicine or an anti-inflammatory can help encourage those muscles to relax as well. And then the other thing to make sure of in that moment, try to not be inactive. Okay. I know it's so tempting to just like stop moving and guard and like clench down, like I said, but try to stay moving. Otherwise, it might exacerbate the problem and make it worse. So like what I told my dad in the car, I said, shift your pelvis, like tip your pelvis around, try to get things to move. And then when he got home, I gave him a few stretches just to keep his body moving. So that's really important in the moment too. Okay, once we're past those initial like 48 hours of this pain and perhaps this sciatica nerve pain, or what you think might be sciatica pain, it's just kind of lingering. It's not going anywhere anytime soon, and it's starting to impact your quality of life. So here are three steps that you can do to start encouraging the healing process and getting some really good relief from that pain. So step number one is thinking about your posture. Okay, this is huge. This is so important. The alignment of your body impacts whether or not that nerve is getting aggravated or compressed. Okay, there are three areas that I want you to think about as far as good alignment. And the first is your pelvis. How well aligned is your pelvis? Do you tend to sit with your hips like tipped out to the side? Do you cross your legs a lot? Do you lean when you're in a chair? Do you tend to arch your hips? Like, do you tilt them forward really far, or do you tuck them under like you slouch a lot? So I want you to think about your posture. Like, your good posture in your pelvis is getting your pelvis to sit level as much as you can, whatever position you're in. Okay. So whether you're sitting in a chair, we want your hips level. If you're sitting on the couch, we want your pelvis level. If you're standing, we want your pelvis level. Okay. That's step number one. It's going to put that nerve in the best position to be happy. Okay. The other area I want you to think about with good posture is your lumbar spine. Like I said before, you could be getting some of that compression at your lumbar spine area. So if your lumbar spine is too arched, okay, so if you're going about your day with your low back like really arched, that could be pressing on the nerve. If you're too flat, like if you're too slumped under and you really don't have any arch at your low back, that could also be pressing on the nerve. So we want to make sure that you have a natural curvature in your low back. That's not too extreme one way or the other, okay? And then another area that I want you to think about as far as good alignment is your feet. I know this might sound like it's not gonna matter at all, but it does. If your feet are like collapsed inward, like let's say your feet are really overpronated, you don't have much of an arch and they're like super flat feet, and every time you step, your entire leg like rolls inward, that twists your pelvis every time you step, and it impacts how your hips operate and it impacts how your core operates. So if we can strengthen your feet, if we can get your feet to operate a little bit better, maybe add a little bit of some insoles in your feet, in your shoes, to ensure that your feet aren't collapsing inward. And even when you step, if you think about keeping the weight along the outside edges of your feet, so that if I were to zoom in and look from behind, what's happening at your ankle each time you step, I shouldn't see your ankle roll outward or roll inward. Okay. Keeping it really level, it's going to make everything else happier up the leg. Okay. So this is like step number one, is looking at how everything is lined up. So pelvis first, lumbar spine, and then your feet. Okay. So start there. And then something that you can do right now to just increase your awareness of your posture and of your alignment, go stand in front of your bathroom mirror, or if you have a full length mirror, and look at your pelvis, look at your hips, see if you're standing with them one hip dropped or one hip higher than the other, and then turn sideways too, so that you can look at yourself from the profile and see what it looks like to tuck your tailbone down, like tuck your pelvis under or arch it open. Like, see if you can play with the tilt of your pelvis and just start to become far more familiar with how to get your pelvis to sit level. So that's something that you can do right now that will have a huge impact on how your sciatica nerve feels. Step number two, the second thing that you can work on to improve this long-term pain that you're experiencing in that sciatica area, that sciatic nerve, is strength. We want to make sure that we're starting to build some strength, especially in your core and in your glutes, okay? When your core is weak, your spine is more likely to shift around and get pinchy. Okay. So the stronger your core is, the less likely your spine will be out of alignment. We just talked about alignment. And if you really want to make sure that you are maintaining good alignment, we got to make your core stronger. So building up good, deep abdominal core strength is so valuable for sciatica. Okay. Because remember, a lot of that sciatica nerve pain could be stemming from your spine. When your core is weak, those spinal segments could be pressing and pinching down on that nerve. Okay. So getting your core stronger can relieve a lot of that pressure off of that nerve. And then glutes. We want to make sure that your glutes are really strong. And I will argue that your glutes are actually part of your core. Okay, so they kind of work in conjunction. I like to think of the core sandwich. So if you think of like one side of the sandwich and the other side of the sandwich, your abs are like the front side and your glutes are the back side of the sandwich. So it's getting some good stabilization from the front and the back. So we want the back side really strong. The stronger your glutes are, the less likely those deep hip muscles like your piriformis, which is a really tiny little muscle, and some of those other little ones, the less likely they're going to be overworking and compressing the nerve. Your big glutes need to do the majority of their job. And when they're not, when they're kind of lazy, that's where we can start to get a lot of that sciatica pain. Okay. So here's what you can do every day. We can start with doing some basic pelvic tilts with an exhale. If tucking your tailbone under when you're laying on the back, on your back, on the floor, if that brings you a little extra nerve pain, depending on where you're getting some compression, then you don't need to do a really aggressive pelvic tilt. But I find that for most people, this really does help. If you lay on your back on the floor, tuck your pelvis under so you feel your low back press down into the floor. Hold that there and then exhale firmly, like push all of the air out so that as you exhale, you're feeling your abdominals kind of wrap around in on themselves. And then as soon as the air is all the way out, as soon as you've exhaled as much as you can, then release everything, release the tilt, and do it again. Okay, so that's a really great way to start to get those deep abdominal, those deep core muscles working hard. And then from that same position, we can start doing some glute bridges. So you're laying on your back. We're going to squeeze the glutes first to turn them on. And then we're going to push your hips up. And that's going to activate your glutes. Make sure that when you're doing glute bridges, that you're pushing through your heels. Okay. Sometimes if you press through the balls of your feet to lift up into a bridge, you'll end up working your knees, like your quads, more than your glutes. So as you do a bridge, make sure you're pushing through your heels. And so if we can get those glutes to get stronger, then that sciatic nerve is going to be way happier. And then the third and final piece, this is kind of like the final tool that you have in your toolkit for getting relief, like long-term relief from your sciatic nerve pain, is going to be flexibility, or basically improving mobility in certain spots on your body. And there's three areas I want you to focus on stretching, okay? Your ankles. We already talked about having feet that don't function well can impact what's going on up at the hip. So stretching your ankles is going to be really helpful. So making sure your ankle joint is nice and mobile. Also, your hips, especially your hip flexors and your hip rotators, okay? So releasing some of that pressure off the front of your hip, doing some really good hip flexor stretches is going to be very beneficial for sciatica. Also stretching, doing a figure four stretch where you cross one ankle over the other knee is going to be really helpful too. So getting a little bit of mobility and flexibility up in that hip socket can be really beneficial. It'll take some of that pressure off of your lumbar spine too. We actually don't want to stretch your lumbar spine. That area of your backbone is not meant to be flexible. So if you're going to stretch your spine at all, And this could be helpful is actually stretching and mobilizing your upper spine. So think about the section of your backbone that goes from your bra strap to the base of your neck. Okay. So kind of that area, that's called your thoracic spine. And if that part of your spine is really tight, then your lumbar spine, the low back region, is going to have to compensate and move way more than it was intended to and potentially put some pressure on that sciatic nerve. Okay. So getting a little bit more mobility out of your upper spine, that thoracic spine area, could be really beneficial too. Okay. So some movements that you can do each day to start working on this, we can do a good ankle stretch. If you're watching on Spotify right now or you're watching the video version, you can see me demonstrating these. So we've got a really good ankle mobility stretch at the wall. I want you to also start doing a hip flexor stretch. So you can do this standing where you're releasing the pressure on the front of your hip, on the front of your pelvis. We can also do a figure four stretch. You can do this seated or at a wall where you cross your ankle over the other knee and get a little bit of that rotational release. And then finally, I want you to do a thoracic spine opener. So an easy way to do this is planting your hands on a kitchen counter and pressing your chest down to the floor. So you almost get your upper back to kind of arch backwards because it's probably wanting to round over, and we want to get it to go the other way. Okay. So all of those flexibility pieces are going to release a lot of tension that's getting placed on that sciatic nerve. Okay. Those were the big three things, right? We focus on good posture, that alignment piece. We focus on strength, building the strength of your core, your glutes. And then we focus on mobility, improving the flexibility in those key areas. If you don't follow this advice, if you just ignore this and you continue to try to just live with the pain, push through the pain, work around it with your workouts and convince yourself that it's really not that bad, it could get worse, or it could take a lot longer to resolve. And in the meantime, like I mentioned earlier, in the meantime, you might realize that you're becoming more and more inactive without realizing it. Those 30-minute walks that you enjoyed going on are now 10-minute walks. That full workout that you enjoyed doing, it's just kind of hit or miss now. And that creeps in over time. And a couple months down the road, a couple years down the road, you wake up and realize, like, whoa, this sciatic nerve pain turned into a full-blown problem. And now I'm overweight. Now I'm really out of shape. And I kind of don't know where to start. So even if your sciatic nerve pain feels pretty minimal right now, this is important. Let's make sure that we're addressing this. Because if you do follow the tips that I outlined, if you go through these steps, what's going to happen is that it will resolve pretty quickly. It's not going to be overnight. Most people realize that, wow, this strengthening piece, building the strength of my core and my glutes, is probably the most important piece that I was missing. That takes time. It takes several weeks and several months to build up the strength of your muscles. Okay. So it might not resolve overnight, but it's going to resolve a lot quicker than if you did nothing. Okay. You will find that you can be active again. You're not going to be hesitating when you want to step in and do some fun activity with your family. It's not going to feel like your body is a burden anymore. Plus, the other benefit that I have found with going through these steps is just your general awareness of how your body operates. You know, anytime we get an injury or get sidelined by something, we can always feel like it's only a negative thing. Like there's nothing positive that comes out of it. But I can raise my hand and say that every time I've had some form of an injury, something that's gone on with my body, I always come out the other side knowing so much more about my body and knowing what to do to prevent that from ever happening again. And that is so valuable. I wish we didn't have to learn that way, but sometimes we do. So don't look at this as only a negative thing. This is a great opportunity for you to learn so much more about your body. And I just wanted to share a quick note that I recently received from a gal named Jen. She went through, she was experiencing sciatica and actually hip bursitis kind of together and didn't really know what to do with this hip pain. And it was starting to impact how she was sleeping at night. She wasn't active anymore. And so she started going through my back and hip fix program, which leads you through all of these things, like gives you exactly what to do each day for 30 days. And she sent me this note. I want you to listen to this.
Hi, Megan. Yeah, wow. We're not quite through the 30 days, but what a difference I feel in my back, my hips, my sleep, moving around the house, everyday chores. Yeah, huge, huge improvement. When we first started, I could barely lift my leg to put my foot into a shoe. That's how much pain my spine, my hips were in. And now I was carrying firewood the other day and remembering, you know, all of the vital things that you taught us about strengthening your core with stabilizing your hips and making sure that you're in the correct position, not arching too much, not flaring out. But yeah, so many of the things that you've been teaching me have been really sticking with me and making a huge difference. I've never been more motivated by a program than I have been with yours, truly. I've tried so many, and there's just something about your teaching style that clicks with me. And you, the information that you teach is what everybody should be teaching. But of course, you know, it also takes me to do the work, which I've never really been motivated to do the work before. So huge improvements. Thank you so much.
That's pretty awesome, right? I love hearing that because it gives you hope. If your pain is like a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, or even just a 2 out of 10, you realize like, it's not that bad. I've just been living with it. I'm just trying to go about my life. Like there, it, this is worth addressing. Okay. So one thing I want you to do today, if there's only one thing that you take away from this conversation, pay attention to how level your pelvis is. This is super practical. It's something everybody can do. Wherever you are right now, how you're listening, if you're sitting, if you're standing, if you're laying down, how level is your pelvis? Is it tipped to the side? Is it arched? Is it tilted? Let's get it level. That is one very simple action step that you can do right now that can help to put that sciatic nerve in a much happier position. And then beyond that, if you're ready to finally stop pushing through the pain and just living with it, and you're like, I'm ready to actually do something about this, I highly recommend my back and hip fix program for 30 days. I lead you through the exact alignment cues and strengthening exercises and flexibility cues. We cover everything to make sure that we get rid of this for good. Okay. You do not need to live with this anymore. I'll make sure that the link is in the show notes for my back and hip fix program, or you can just go to backandhipfix.com, all one word. All right, my friend, I hope this gives you a little bit of hope today for your back, for your hips, for that sciatic nerve. And just know that I am on your side and I really want to help see you feel great in your body. Okay. Until next time, be strong.